All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. We're just a bunch of Kiss fans, and we talk Kiss. So come along for the ride. You've got nothing to lose.
I hope I managed to save that because we were just chatting away happily and I saw the countdown clock go 5, 4, 3, go live, go live, go live. Welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. I'm your host, Julian Gill. Today we've got Daniel and Marcus Almighty. I don't know if Ken's going to make it. We shall see. It's a bit rainy out here in California today. It's been a heck of a week, obviously, with Podcast Rock City and our show doing our interviews with the one, the only Peter Criss, which thank you all for, checking out our episode, their episode. We recorded first, they recorded second. So we were Podcast Rock City's fluffers, in a sense.
We were number one.
It was a real fun process getting this interview with Peter together with the Podcast Rock City guys. Obviously, we bounced our questions off one another so that we try and have as much separation between what we're asking. Obviously, there is crossover. Just happens as a part of the conversation. So, again, we didn't ask about any chewing gum. They score with that. That one made me laugh so much. So don't forget to check out their episode and also ours. Big thanks again to Joey Quesada for hosting Peter and making it possible for us both to record episodes with him. He's the man with the cannolis and the drumsticks. So people may be wondering why their channel memberships were canceled today. I've decided to completely demonetize the channel in every sense and get rid of that for this year. My life is so time consumed. I don't have enough time to commit to the private member section as I hoped I would, and it's not going to get any better this year. So it's better just to remove it. I'll revamp some of that material for the main channel, but just focusing going forward on a completely unmonetized Kiss FAQ YouTube channel. I want to thank everyone who's joining us live. I see Stargazer, Rex Metzer, G Chupko, Jeff Davidson. I think I saw Sylvie, Kiss Vids, Chris Flood. Yeah, and Nick, thanks a lot for joining us. One last thing about Joey is they dropped the full Handsome Devils Deep Cuts Vegas video yesterday, and that's the fully produced, mixed, and all the sexy audio and video has been added into that. So do check that out on YouTube because it was an incredible performance. Absolutely fantastic. Yes. So do check that out. All right, Ken, glad you could make it.
Hi, Ken.
We just change our setting around a little here. There we go. Now we look better. All right, so this episode is all about looking back and looking forward. 2025 was an interesting year, to say the least, and it's a good opportunity just to go through and recap some of people's, and that includes all of you who are watching live, your high points and your low points. But I prefer to focus on the really high, because obviously with the death of Ace Frehley, the lows are pretty damn low. They don't get any lower than losing any member of a band, especially a beloved spaceman. So we're going to focus in on most of the good stuff, but obviously there are going to be some things that happened during the year that grinded our gears. How to structure this conversation? I mean, what do you guys want to do? Do you just want to go with the beginning and start with the Strutter Gold single just to really set the tone for positivity? Because when you think about Kiss, it's all about merchandising. It's about ideas that are way outside the box. It's about doing things that get people mad, get people talking, get people shouting at clouds. Was that a good omen or a bad omen, Mark?
You know what? I'll start. Let me just preface my comment by just saying this. In 2026, I've planned to be a little bit more positive, a little bit more optimistic in my outlook on things in general. I know I've been kind of looked at as the guy who, you know, isn't afraid to say things, no filter. If I think something's crap, I'll say it out loud, right? But I think I'm going to try to put things with a little bit more positive spin. Now, while that single was something that definitely wasn't in my bracket as far as interest and monetarily, yeah, it was definitely a odd way to start the year off. And I think a lot of people, when they first saw it, kind of had that feeling like, uh-oh, if this is what's to come from the good people at Pop House, then we might be in trouble. Everything's going to be $50,000 and $10,000, and I'm going to be priced out of the ordeal. But I don't think it was that great a way to start the year. So I'm curious to what you guys think.
Daniel, do you remember your reaction when the Strut of Gold single was announced? Do you think it was going to be a good year in Kistrick?
To preface this, I have to say I think Pop House had nothing to do with that one. It was a separate contract that Kiss had done previously, so they weren't involved with that. But it was a bad start to the year, to be honest. Lately, I've seen a lot of bands do this kind of stuff just to get attention. Like Vinnie Vincent with his single there, you know.
Oh, my God.
Well, pay thousands of dollars for one song, and if I sell 1,000 of them, you'll get yours. Otherwise, the money, I don't know where it will go, but I won't release the single. So at times, it's just a way to get headlines, and I'm not a fan of that. But I guess it's a method that kind of works to get attention.
Yeah, shock treatment. Ken, I mean, how many of those Strutter singles did you buy? Can you show us yours?
I have all 10.
You bought all of them. No.
By the way, I sold my house too. Yeah. No. That just didn't. I understand that it was planned from a prior year, I guess, or so before the Pop House exchange. But it's still, even if it wasn't Pop House, that one really, I just shake my head at it because it's just crazy. It's just a crazy product. I guess they figure just a couple people buying something like that will be enough. They'll still get a profit out of it because it's produced on demand. So it's kind of, you know, Pop House could have halted it, I guess. If you think about it, they could have said, no, we're not, we decided not to do this. We're not going to do that one. But they did, and that's fine. If someone bought one, that's fine. I don't think it didn't provide a good outlook for things to come.
No, it was completely opposite to what actually ended up happening during the year,
yes,
to a certain extent. And I think it is important to separate that you know, Daniel defending the Swedish honor is also defending the truth. You know, it predated Pop House's arrangements and purchase of the intellectual property, and it was just clearing out of those old deals. So they got to do their thing. It got attention, like the Monster book. Remember that stupidity? You know, how many,
how could we forget,
you know, how was there, you know, there was a warehouse full of those things. And I think at one point the printer was trying to sell off individual pages, and I think they got stopped from even doing that. So it's like, you're going to lose your money, and you're really going to lose your money. So again, it was one of those things. It's ludicrous. Couldn't afford it. Not interested in it. Big deal. Move on. Laugh at it. If nothing else, but also if it made someone happy, fine, whatever. Again, if it doesn't impact us.
It sure was a beautiful book. You have to add that. Beautiful pictures and well done, I think, that great Monster book, at least from afar.
Yeah, well, it's all like modern lineup crap, so.
Yeah.
Daniel, bigger is not always better.
Try keep telling yourself that, Ken.
I do every night.
Wow.
All right, so let's move on. Let's start on the releases of actual musical product, because again, Kiss is a band, not a brand. I don't believe in that at all now. March, Off the Soundboard came out, featuring Bruce Kulick, finally. How can anyone say that that is not a good thing is beyond me, apart from it being one of the boring set lists, which is one of the negatives, not one of the ones that were actually interesting, but it was very illustrative of the Asylum tour. So that came out in March. I got to start with Daniel for that one. Thoughts on it? Was it a win or a loss?
I think it was a win, the Off the Soundboard thing, and I actually like the packaging a bit more, that they put a little more effort into the package. but I think the best way it looked was the way you did it when you colorized the album cover. Do you remember that? I think Julian did a colorized cover, and that looked really awesome. I liked the concert. Was it at that concert that Gene did some profanity towards the sound guy or the light guy? It was unfiltered, I think. I enjoyed it. And great playing from the guys, great singing from Paul and Gene, and nice concert. And it was really uplifting or fresh that they released something from that era, you know, the 80s. It's been so overlooked through the years. Since 96, they have overlooked that era so much. So I think it was a good sign that they finally managed to understand that there is some good stuff from the 80s and early 90s.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the color. I like it. I like it. It should be colors when it's Asylum.
Yeah, no, it should have been the horrible palette of colors. So, yeah, that was the one that I knocked out. Mark, Asylum.
Out of the park.
For me, it was a total win. I'm an Asylum guy through and through, as you know. Anything that comes from that era, I'll be very supportive of. At the time, I wasn't able to grab any kind of physical stuff, even though I think it was just pretty much the CD was only Japan, so that was unfortunate. But, you know, the digital I got and enjoyed quite a lot. And again, I really love that time period. I think it has a bit of a black eye, mainly because, again, people were listening, as Paul would say, listening with their eyes instead of their ears, just because they're wearing, you know, pastels and these odd colors, immediately got dismissed as not, you know, proper Kiss material. But I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Nothing but positive words from me. And I will be definitely grabbing a physical vinyl copy this year, now that things have kind of leveled off and some of the things I have to take care of in 2025 are done. So looking forward to 2026 from that aspect.
Nice. Ken, it's in that era that I don't know if you're completely convinced.
No, I mean, I like that era. I had a great time, you know. I'm still enjoying Kiss in the 80s. So, and then that, when seeing that concert, you know, it was great live with the big logo and everything. So, yeah, I didn't have a problem with the colors back then because it was a sign of the time. So, as for the release itself, I think it was a good release. And they needed to do Asylum, something from that era. And that was a good one to do. I don't get the CD only in Japan kind of thing. It doesn't make any sense to me. It took a while for the vinyl version. I think I want to say it was like 1,000, maybe. I don't know how many they did of the vinyl version. Maybe a lot more than that. But that took a while for it to sell out, I think, over time. So maybe it was 5,000 or more to do that. I got the digital version. I didn't even get a physical version this time.
What, you? That.
Yeah, I did not get the physical version. So, yeah. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm a Asylum. yeah, if it was alive too, I would have done. But anyway. I don't know. It was a good thing. I hopefully they'll, you know, continue to produce more of these. They really, I think they're coming out a little bit too slow, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was a good restart to the series. Again, the improved artwork on it, you know, while it wasn't color and it wasn't, you know, looking like a Zodiac bootleg or any of those, it looked good. It sounded great. So again, very little complaints around that. Yeah, I'm nitpicky because, again, if there's another soundboard, which there is from the Asylum Tour with the exact same set list, basically, I do want something different. But then again, I'm grateful for anything. And it was, in essence, it was a way of marking the, what was it, the 40th anniversary of Asylum last year. So, and it also honored both Eric Carr and Bruce Kulick and their contributions to the lineup. So from that perspective, it was a win. I wish there'd been a second one mid-year or later on to bridge the gap between that release and the two box sets. But I think there were probably things going on in the background that would have made it more difficult to kind of align that with the schedule for all the things that were going on. I'm greedy. I want more. I always want more.
But real quick, Julian, before we move on from Asylum, I think the merchandise was pretty interesting, if you remember. It was pretty clear they didn't have the rights to some of the stuff. So the first T-shirts, you remember that one, Ken? The first T-shirts only featured Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons, no Eric Carr and Bruce Kulick. But they sorted that out, and then Pop House did something funny, or whoever it was that did it. They released a T-shirt with only Eric Carr and Bruce Kulick. I think that was a cool thing. I'd like that T-shirt, actually.
That was cool that they did that. But again, on previous bundles, you know, there had been only Paul and Gene on T-shirts. So it was, I guess people didn't notice. And I don't even focus in on merchandise, so I wouldn't have been a good person to remember that.
But they had a great T-shirt from the Australia tour in 1980 with Ace, Paul and Gene. And then Eric's car was all, you know, you didn't see his face. So there seems to be some problems with the rights there.
No, they own the makeup. Yeah,
maybe.
But they don't. I don't know whether image rights have been signed. I'm not part of that world, thankfully. So again, you can't just create new merchandise with people's faces on it, especially when they're still alive. So
no, but this is an issue it's an issue they've had for years. You have to just go back to 1994 with that Kiss My Ass record. That makeup on Ace Frehley is terrible.
Yeah, there's a little bit more to that one, though. Let's
that
let's
you, that you can read that you can read about in the upcoming book, Frehley.
You don't have to swallow the mic.
Aceland. Oh,
yeah.
Jesus, man, my ears almost got blown out there.
God damn. Yeah.
You're going to hold on.
All right, Cookie Monster. Settle down.
Okay.
All right, moving forward into other musical releases directly from Kiss, were obviously two box sets in 2025. That I never thought we'd see, two separate box products in one year, even though they're so connected and so related. I know that there is some criticism that people would have preferred just to have the five, or in this case, the 4.5, surviving source shows that were recorded for Alive just as a singular box set. And who knows, maybe in the future they'll give you that product so you can buy one as well. And maybe include one more song, or maybe the missing tracks that were on King Biscuit to enhance that a little bit more. But box sets, satisfaction with how that all panned out in 2025. And of course, we will be talking about this year a little bit later. Ken.
Yeah, satisfied. I thought, you know, I was hoping for something earlier in the year for Dressed to Kill, but I guess it wasn't maybe ready at the time. So, you know, you have to wait sometimes for things. So, you know, it was surprising getting two box sets in such a short period of time. It was, you know, tough on the on the money book or whatever you want to call it, wallet, checkbook wallet, charge card, whatever. It was worth it. I think it was great that they, you know, did it that way with the separating some of the shows out from Alive to, you know, Dressed to Kill. I think it worked out really well. I think everyone's going to be happy that they got pretty much everything, except for that half of that Cleveland stuff. But I'm happy, and I always thought that they should do two box sets a year, but not that close together. But I'm hoping that's what we'll get, you know, next year, two more box sets.
This year. I'm not waiting until next year.
For this year, months. I mean. Yeah. I'm still living in 2025.
Yeah.
Don't you dare. Daniel, you're a downloader. You're a streamer. So
yeah.
Two box sets to you. How did those work out? And do you, and come back at the end and everyone pick your favorite for those.
Well, I dare any vinyl player to say that they have listened to them more times than I have. Just because you prefer the modern ways of listening to records doesn't mean you listen less to records. I've heard those Alive tour recordings over and over again and really enjoy them. And you really need to move on from stuff. You can't live in the past. I mean, I can't get my head, wrap my head around why would I buy two box sets for, I don't know how many dollars you have to spend to get those, when I can listen to the music almost for free. I just need my account on Spotify. I can't motivate that sort of a buy. No way in hell. Do I want that tie from the Dress to Kill? Well, maybe if it's $10, I'd buy it. Do I need some of those photos? I don't think so. So I think it's pretty interesting that they can sell the amount of boxes they do these days when the music is out there. For me, it's always about the music. I don't care for the tie, the photos, that kind of stuff. And you can get the interesting stuff, you can get it on PDF files a week after it's been released. And you don't need to, you know, you need to support Kiss the band. You need to buy it. Hell no, they got more money than I have. So that's not a valid reason either. So I think it's really interesting that they can move these kinds of big box sets that are really expensive and still release the music for free. I think that's really interesting. But I did enjoy the music. I think they were both great box sets. There must have been some trouble getting them out. Of course, like Ken said, the Dress to Kill box sets should have been released way earlier. But I hope they can fix these kind of, you know, problems for this year and, you know, plan it a little bit better.
Yeah.
The booths are awesome, Daniel.
Yeah, I love these box sets because, again, seeing how they've come together really exceeded my expectations. And now we have answers to the 1996, you wanted the best tracks from the rehearsals in Davenport, which I didn't know about. What they did with the limited amount of outtakes for Dress to Kill, I was very pleased with. Obviously, I did critique elements of them. But again, I'm very grateful that we have all these additional live shows from 1975 to listen to now. And that's absolutely wonderful. Kobo, spectacular. Wildwood's pretty darn good as well, you know. So Cleveland, what we get of it is spectacular. What they managed to do also with the remasters just sound absolutely fabulous for both of those albums. Unlike something like Destroyer Resurrected that changes it substantially, I can happily make those my listening copies because they are so vibrant, so full, and so wonderful. They are on my phone. So the price point, they brought the price point down on the vinyl editions. I think they did more to improve the perceived value that people were getting around it. And obviously I work on both of those and made some contributions, but I'm not going to bullshit people and try and make them seem like they're something that they're not. I actually believe in what these were as they were released. So I'm very happy with them. I love the physical, I hate the vinyl. I still haven't played the vinyl. I don't like vinyl. It's a pain in the arse to play. I love the book. Down beside me right now, I've got three of the box set books just sitting by my desk because I do actually reference them and flip through them. And they are in essence, the only things I care about in the box other than the music. So kudos to Universal for getting two products done. Kudos to them making both of them viable as standalone. And it's long overdue. It really made up for the gap year or years by getting two in 1 year. I just thought the timing absolutely stunk, but it is what it is. When you have two box sets and Kiss Storms Vegas happening at the same time, only people who were early onboarders for Kiss Vegas could offset that outlay. Everyone else kind of, if you relate to the party for Kiss Storms Vegas, and then you had two box sets to get and all the travel that goes with it, ouch, painful, but definite win. Mark.
Oh, okay, my turn? Okay. So I'm going to have... I'm going to break my rule already about the positivity because number one, the thing is I'm kind of half and half with Daniel. It is all about the music for sure. That's definitely the thing. Number one, being a Canadian, the box sets are priced out of my reach. I mean, with all the customs and all the other horse shit that comes with it, you're talking like near $1,000 and there's no album that's worth that much money. I don't care who the hell it is. Okay. But the thing is, I really enjoyed it. The music and all the stuff that we got, the bonus tracks, you know, the live concerts were phenomenal. They sounded great. I have only one real issue with the music part of it. And luckily, it doesn't really affect me too much. It's only because I've been watching this, and that is Mr. David, who does the Atmos mixes. I have renamed him David Reverberoni. Because this guy has added so much friggin' reverb to these things. I mean, it doesn't sound anything like what these albums should sound like. I mean, I was watching these things, these, you know, song by song thing that he goes through, and paused it on his Pro Tool setup. And there was, I've counted at least easily six different reverb plugins on each channel of the drum. What is this guy doing? I mean, this is, he's putting them into a friggin' cave, these drums and everything else. And that's not how this album sounds. I'm sorry. It doesn't sound anything like that. It was never meant to sound like they were playing in Madison Square Garden. Okay. So, but like I said, it doesn't really affect me that much because I don't have an Atmos setup and I don't plan on ever getting any kind of Atmos setup in my house. So that's another thing. But, you know, I'm not opposed to box sets. I just mentioned off air that I got a Rolling Stones Tattoo U box set. And the thing is, if you're patient and you wait, like that box that I got, I thought initially when I bought it, because it only came to $150 Canadian, I thought I bought like the CD version of it. But no, I opened it and it's 5 vinyl. I was like, wow, I totally lucked out here, because that, no way it was going to cost that much on vinyl when it first came out. There's just no way that it was that cheap. And if it did, then good for the Stones, because man, that's a deal and a half, you know? And I understand that Julian is a very busy guy and he does a lot of stuff and he's running around and writing books and stuff like that. So vinyl may not be the media of preference, you know, CD and live streaming is probably better, but man, I love vinyl. I mean, all it takes is getting up a couple of times and turning it here and there, but I can understand time is money and Julian has, you know, limited time. So that's great. I don't have any issue with that. But overall, I think that the box sets are a good thing. They should have maybe just spaced them out a little bit longer, like distance, just because of the people who can't really afford to drop that much cash at once. I mean, if you're in Canada, you'd have to drop $2,000, okay, to get both of them. And that's just not possible, I think, for most people, or just don't want to do it. So is it good? In a way, yes. In a way, no. And Mr. Reverberoni, if you're listening here, man, ease up with the reverb.
I like the unfiltered Mark.
Yeah. Well,
I like it. You don't go any other way, Mark. Yeah, you're good. You're good when you tell it like it is.
I'm the only one who has to be a politician around here.
Exactly.
Speak your mind. So
we only need one politician, no more.
Yeah, so let's move on to the next musical release of the year was, of course, the Peter Criss solo album, long awaited. I think people were worried about what it was going to be before it came out, even though I thought I made clear that it was going to be a Peter Criss rock and roll record. And with some of the players involved in it, Angel from Criss, Piggy, John Five, Billy Sheehan, Paul Schaefer. I thought that would be enough information for people not to be freaking out, worrying that it was not going to be what it ended up being. And overwhelmingly, that again, not everyone's going to like anything, and that's fine.
No.
Overwhelmingly, the response to it has been positive. I did, Mark. I dusted off my record player, which is right up there. Mm-hmm. I did get everything off it and realign the stylus and all that crap. I did it for Peter Criss. And I'm glad I did, because the analog version of that, I'm sure I've said it about 10 times by now on various shows, sounds so much better with so much more warmth and frequency depth than the somewhat brick-walled modern digital. So to me, that's definitely one of the high points of the year. In Canada land, with it not streaming, have you heard it yet, Mark?
Yes, I have. And that brings me to another little point. First of all, I have to say that I was pleasantly surprised by the album. Do I think it's the greatest thing? No, obviously not, but I really enjoyed it. I thought I went into it with an open mind. You know, I didn't have any expectations, you know, of what it was supposed to be like. All I know is that it was supposed to be a rock record, and we got a rock record. There's no question about it. You know, it has some, you know, tip of the hat back to 70s. He has some sort of Alice Cooper tip of the hat with his Creepy Crawler song. Everything that he did in there, I think he said it best, that he had made a promise to his fans, and he delivered on it. He made a rock record. He had some great players on it and stuff like that. The only issue I ever had with this record to begin with was just the way that it was being distributed out. I mean, me being a huge Bandcamp guy, I really enjoyed and was excited initially when I heard that he was going to put his stuff onto Bandcamp, because I'm a big supporter of it. And I like the idea of that once you buy the album, whether it's physical CD or if you buy the vinyl, or even if you just buy the live stream off of it, like a stream of it, you are allowed to digitally listen to it off of the site. Now, for whatever reason, they convinced Peter that this was a bad thing to have any sort of streaming or digital version of it on there. And, you know, at first he had one song that was available to listen to. Then all of a sudden there was a period where I was able to listen to everything off of the site. And that was fantastic. I listened to the whole album numerous times off of Bandcamp. And then all of a sudden, one day I went back on there and it was just an open page with nothing on it. Just Peter Criss, nothing on there. And I find that honestly a little bit of a little disappointing. Because for people who use that sort of media and can go into their car, plug their phone into their car and listen to it live, listen to it from their phone in their car, that option is now gone. I mean, it's either you buy the CD or buy the vinyl and that's it. And you can listen to vinyl in the car. I mean, there's no development of that yet. But if you don't have a CD copy of it, then you're kind of SOL, right? So
not really.
That's the only issue I had with it.
iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes has it.
That's your choice. You know, yeah. I think one thing that I don't have any visibility into that side of things either, but the fact that Peter had to make a statement on his website about the situation on Bandcamp really illustrates, you know, what he cared about the most, and that's taking care of the fans, but also releasing the record the way that he wanted to release it, and that's always important to any artist. You know, not everyone wants to stream. Again, that model only favors one person, and that's an oligarch. Because the artists are not getting compensated for streaming fairly by any means. It's absolute percentages of pennies. But also, I understand the part where having the actual product is, you know, something tangible. Daniel, you're a streamer. You're the one who you're one of them. And Spotify is, of course, a Swedish company, aren't they?
Yes, they are. As well as Kiss is a Swedish company nowadays, soon will own the world. Well, whatever. I just like to say that I was pleasantly surprised listening to the Peter Criss record. I think there are several good tunes on that record, a few different styles. I do like the way Peter Criss sounds at his age. I mean, Peter Criss is the same age as my dad. Mm. I can't see my dad record a rock and roll record. Yeah, your mom is the same age. I mean, he's slowing down. He's getting up there in age. I can't see him releasing something like this. So kudos to Peter Criss for doing this. And In the episode you did with him, he seemed vibrant. He seemed satisfied with the album. He seemed like he was really into the album. When I compare this one to the latest release he did, that one from 2007, I think it was, One for All, this is way better.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds better, better songs. So it's a total upgrade from his latest record. tomorrow I'll be doing an episode on a different podcast about my favorite records from 2025. And it really struck me that it's really hard to get into new music. I have to revisit this record a few times before I can really say what I think about it. But I do feel it's a good record. Don't know really how good it is. But I was trying to find five albums from 2025 that I really loved. And I had to work my ass off to find five records. Yes, I had to.
I don't have that problem.
But you know... I enjoy doing long walks, and I like listening to podcasts and music. Mm-hmm. And when I want to listen to something good, I guess it's because I'm getting old. I really prefer things from 85 or stuff like that instead of taking a chance on new music. And that's terrible. So for the last 2 weeks, I've only been listening to music from 2025. And I struggled, but finally I found five records that I really enjoyed. But it was a struggle, so we'll see what time will tell. But I think I like this album. I think it's a good effort from Peter, and of course he had great backup from the bassist from Mr. Big and the keyboardist from David Letterman. It was top notch musicians and John Five as well. So cool
Paul
release
Schaefer,
from Peter. Yeah, Paul Schaefer and. I don't remember the name of the
Billy
bass.
Sheehan.
Yeah, Billy Sheehan. Yes.
Billy Sheehan. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of five new albums that I bought in 2025. Actually, I did.
This
I did
is what I'm telling
like,
you. Get it?
Yeah. Well, I bought Freewheeling, Bob Dylan, Highway 61 Revisited.
That's not new.
Bringing Down the Horse, The Wallflowers, Def Leppard, Diamond Star Heroes Live. That's actually pretty good. I don't buy a lot these days. I buy more archival stuff. The Wallflowers, Mark. Peter told me that he loved the album and recommended it to me, so I bought it for the flight back to listen to, and he was right.
You like
fantastic
it?
Fantastic album. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Amazing.
Good.
Strongly recommended. Ken? Peter Criss?
Yeah, Peter Criss. I was pleasantly surprised by the music on the record. It all, even though he did it, went into different kind of styles on the record, it all, the way it was played and produced, it all sounds like it belongs together. Even though different genres, kind of, old style rock and roll and new rock or whatever. It's really, really good album. I wasn't sure if it was going to come out because it was so many years ago. He said he was working on the rock and, this rock album. And it's like every year goes by and there was nothing. So I thought, oh, shoot, he might never, release this. But if he ends, if this is his last album, I don't know if or not. But if it is, then
doesn't
I'm happy.
Like
I think I know it sounds like he wants to continue. So maybe we'll get one sooner than later this time. But he had fun with it. You could tell by his attitude and by the music that he actually put out there. So I'm really happy with that album. Really happy with it. It's not going to be like some other album where you listen to it once and put it on the shelf and never play it again. This is something I'll go back and play it again.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing really quickly? Sorry, you're talking about new releases and new bands. I highly, highly, highly recommend Crownlands, Ritual 1 and Ritual 2. That's an album that they put out. It's actually an EP. But Crownlands, to me, are fantastic. They are going to be a band that in the future you're going to really see big things from. I truly believe that. They're Canadian. They know what the hell they're doing. They're great musicians. I know I can see Julian's face crinkling up when I mention Crownlands, but you know, whenever I think of Crownlands now, do you have it? Oh, very nice.
I didn't care for Ritual. I've got White Buffalo is fantastic. Fearless is spectacular. You want to recommend Crownlands? Get Fearless.
Just of course.
Absolutely stunning album. And that's a discovery for me through Kiss, who they opened up the Canadian shows. And I checked out their stuff and some of the live performances that they did during the lockdown. Unbelievable what those two people are creating sonically.
Yeah, and when you mentioned the Kiss connection, I get very angered because they were to open for Kiss in Toronto on the last tour there, and the show was canceled because Paul caught COVID. So I'm very, you know, I don't blame Paul. I mean, he got COVID, so luckily he survived it. I'm happy he did. But that was my chance to go. I mean, I was telling Daniel, I'm going to go see Kiss. Daniel motivated me to go go and see Kiss one last time, and I got robbed. Not only to seeing Crownlands, but Kiss as well. But you know, and just to answer Chris's question in the stream there, he asked, "What's Sloan like?" Sloan are Canada's answer to the Beatles. They're that kind of pop rock, in my opinion.
Beatles, wow.
Yeah, they sound
that's
like
a Beatles. Big statement there.
Yeah, they're Canada's Beatles meets Cheap Trick. That's what they sound like. And if you like that, you'll love it. It's indie rock stuff like that.
There you go. Jack D said said such. All right, other musical releases last year around the Kiss realm. Obviously, the Hooligans tribute, which was on streaming. Mm-hmm. We had them on the show for an interview. I thought that stuff sounded fantastic. Yeah, I've got some friends who play on it, but again, I wasn't sure of that when I actually listened to it. So, well worth checking out on streaming platforms as well. And of course, Tommy Thayer and Jamie St. James put out an EP. Bombshell, which I quite liked, and you know, they've been on Three Sides to be interviewed for it, so I won't bother. But still, fun music. Any thoughts on either of those before we move on into printed matter?
Well, the Hooligans was a fun one. A tribute there for that one. That was kind of a fun one to listen to, and I haven't. But heard just a little bit of the other one with Tommy Thayer and Jamie St. James. So that one I still need to check out.
The Tommy Thayer record, I didn't listen to that one. I listened to Julian's review, however. That's about what I know about
his review of it.
I thought that was more interesting than the actual album. But the other one, the Hooligans, I enjoyed because I think it was a great take on Kiss. They tried to sound like, you know, 70s Kiss, 76 maybe, but they didn't play only 70s songs. They added some 80s songs. And try to put the 70s spin on them, and I really enjoyed that. I think Tears Have Fallen was in there, and a few others. So I really enjoyed that album. It was a fun take on Kiss.
Yeah, from the sounds of it in that interview, there'll be more of more covers from them in the future, since they did record more than they just used for that EP. But yeah, Jordan points out the St. James Thayer stuff wasn't available on streaming platforms, and there was quite a high buy-in for that CD. It only came signed direct from the artist. Arrived quickly in the post, but yeah, it was expensive for what it was, but so was the previous release from them. So again, streaming is a problem for some people. So Peter's not alone there in not being on streaming platforms. There's a lot of people who are pulling catalogs off there. It is what it is. Now, something that you could stream in 2025, and this is the marquee moment for video, was Andrew's From Tokyo to You. Absolutely spectacular. I just want to congratulate Andrew on what he went through to bring that project to life, because I know he put his heart and soul into creating a story, doing a lot of original interviews and content, and also getting permission to show Lydia's some of her legendary video recording. So that was a high point visually during the year. There's been quite a few things on YouTube that have become very popular, but that was the one that I really wanted to point out. Video-wise, do you guys have any highlights from the year of stuff that you saw on YouTube or elsewhere other than Andrew's?
Yeah, we just have to give kudos to Andrew. He's been producing. He's like a video producing extraordinaire Kiss fan, and I think we have to, you know, tip the hat to Andrew. Everyone who has been editing videos know it's really time consuming, and it takes a long, long time and a lot of effort. And Andrew seems to be, you know, this power, this force, and he managed to get out a lot of great content and put a lot of his time into these projects. And he's been on the show several times. I think he's been on here like 20, 30, 40, 50 times or something. He's done a lot of episodes with us. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to listen to him. He is so into his projects that he's like, he's always, how do you say it in English, swallowed up by the thing. He's totally 100% into the thing he's doing at the moment. And it shows. And I think this latest effort was kind of something from left field for me, because previously he's been, you know, redoing improved old stuff. This was something completely new. And I think this is the way he should go in the future, trying to create new content, because he sure as hell has the chops to do it and create all those documentaries that we want to see that Kiss never did. This is the guy who can do it. And if I was at Pop House, I would say, hire him. Because he's the guy you need in the Kiss camp when you're doing video.
Nice. I'm sure Andrew will appreciate that comment, Daniel. Ken, video-wise, and yeah, Stargazer did point out Frankenstein's videos. He's put out quite a few things during the year as well, which is why I asked your video high points from the year.
Video high points. I do like Andrew's work. I think it was great. It was a different, it was a step up from some of his other stuff. The way he did that one, more professional on that one, definitely. Other ones, I don't know. Every now and then, I like that one, that War Machine video, that AI thing. You know, I a lot of AI stuff was crap, but I really enjoyed that one.
Agree.
More should be done with Kiss songs like that one. I would love to see more videos, music videos like that pop up if someone's capable of doing it in, you know, that quality. And it looked pretty good. So I enjoyed that. I just go back. Other videos, you know, you go back to the old stuff, concert videos and stuff like that. I like watching that stuff. So certain concerts from different eras. So otherwise, that's about it.
But yeah. I just have to add, that guy is really improving as well. The one who did War Machine, he's been doing some Metallica videos lately, and they are like off the charts. Wow. So go to his channel and tell him, do a Kiss video next. More Kiss.
Yeah, so honestly, I watch a lot of different things. I find that I like to go through a lot of different channels that support Kiss stuff, like the Vinyl Spinner, Dylan there. He shows a lot of box sets that come out, like these unofficial box sets that come out of shows and stuff like that. So I like watching those things. Also, I'll give a quick shout out to Kiss Army Things. They're that young husband and wife couple that do those kind of you know, episodes where they review stuff. They did like an Ace Frehley concert review. They talk about the soundboard recordings when they come out. So, you know, they're one of these young group of people that are taking up the Kiss flag to, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but the guy who did those really excellent videos where he would go back to spots that were on, like in photographs, and he would go back to the actual spots and show them now. And he would do recreations of walkthroughs in certain areas. Love those kind of channels and support those 150%. So I really like keeping up with that stuff now. I mean, so it's I love the video stuff. And of course, Andrew's videos are always fantastic. Always enjoy watching those as well. So hats off to Andrew as well for that. But yeah, I'm a big supporter of these kind of channels that show KISS content in all kinds of ways, whether it's just like another podcast or another sort of a spin on KISS stuff in general.
Yeah, let's get into some printed matter. Elaine, of course, put out three this year.
Last year, pardon me.
Again, the last one and the first one were particularly, yeah, the Made in Japan is really, really good. I love that as the reference guide that it is, because I only have one piece of Japanese vinyl left, and that's Originals 2, which I'm getting rid of soon. I always say I'm getting rid of it. I never get around to dealing with eBay because they keep making life more difficult. There was also Creatures of the Screen. We had an interview with John Harrison for that one. Mm-hmm. There was Elaine's at Budokan, which kicked off the year. I had to do notes for this. I was late to the game with Joey Quesada's Order of the Rose, and then he also put out Drummer's Heartbeat of KISS.
Have you read that one?
I've got it. I haven't had a chance to really do more than flip through it.
I'm thinking about getting that one. It seems to be an interesting, never done before thing about KISS.
Yeah. So again, it looks great, but I haven't had time to dig into it. But I did buy Sebastian's box autobiography finally as well for the KISS stuff in it, and I haven't gotten around to that one yet. And then, of course, Elaine also partnered with me to do a Mass Kisteria Revisited. So quite a bit of printed matter. Oh, wait.
There's another one.
Wait, we can't forget.
There it is. Yeah.
Our Swedish friends finally do their English version. They got it out this year or last year. It was.
Now in English.
You don't have a copy.
No.
I will have to rectify that.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, no, it's very, very
good. Yeah, Mark, you're missing
a sign. I'd love to get it, just, you know.
No, he's going to buy it.
Yeah, I'll put this in the post to you so that you can have a copy. Oh,
we need to talk. We need to talk about this effort from the KISS Army Sweden to make this an international thing. They're open now to getting people from all over the world to contribute to this one. So, Mark, if you have something interesting, you just get in contact with these guys, and I'm sure you can get it into the magazine. And hopefully this will be the magazine for KISS Army worldwide. And it's great to see that Julian and Ken finally got their copies. It took a bit too long, I think. Hopefully they'll work things out for the next issue. But as you all know, the next issue will actually have a piece on the KISS FAQ podcast, and we prepared an article for them, and thank you to you guys for all of your contributions, and it'll hopefully go in print in the next one, and then you can read about the start of the KISS FAQ podcast and why we did it and all that kind of stuff. And so go to their website. I think it's called KISS Army Sweden, and then you can get a subscription. I don't know. How much did you pay, Ken, for a year? It isn't too expensive. I think it's pretty... It's well worth it. It's not a lot of money. If you have great ideas or stories, get in contact with Niklas Olsson, who is the head of the KISS Army Sweden magazine. And, you know, he's one of the guys that Pop House use when they plan stuff. So get in contact with him, and I'm sure you'll get your stuff in there. So we're all looking forward for the next issue and their piece on KISS FAQ.
So as far as books go, this year has been a pretty lean year for me. Like I said before, there was a lot of things in 2025 that I had to do, both, you know, professionally, like musically and stuff like that, that tied up a lot of funds and stuff like that. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to do stuff. But I'll be totally honest, and another thing, though, too, is that I've been reading a lot of the books that I still have in my collection, going back to them. But 2026 is something that I'm really looking forward to, because I'm really hoping that we'll get a couple of Julian Gill books this year. I really want to get something from Julian. I'm really hoping that that's going to happen, because his books are the ones that I go back to most often. Like the Unmasked book that he did, I read that constantly still. The solo albums book, I still go back to. I even go back to some of the earlier books. Like, when he did a book about the 2012 era and all that way back, he had, I forget what the name of that book was, but I go back to those books. Even the one that Daniel has, The Kiss on Tour, I reference a lot. Julian Gill books are the way to go, in my opinion. I mean, I love Alan's books as well, or Elaine, sorry. But I know he's shaking his head, no, but I'm really hoping that we'll get one at least. You know, not expecting a miracle and to see all three come out.
You'll need a miracle.
So what you're saying, Mark, is we need an update on the projects from you and Gill camp.
I didn't say that necessarily, but if he wants to do it, that's fine.
Between the lines, that's exactly what you said.
So what books did you enjoy this year? What projects, Mark? Were there any printed things that you did purchase, or were you kind of not involved in that at all?
Well, I didn't really buy anything, to be honest. Like I said, the only thing that I read that was printed is, let's say if I bought like a box and they had a book in there that was included with it. Maybe that's about it. Because I mean, honestly, I've had my stuff wrapped up in a lot of other things last year, but I'm hoping this year that'll change a bit. Because I used to buy, you know, Elaine's books all the time when they came out. And this year, last year I couldn't do it, you know. And, you know, like I said, I when your books came out, I did find a way to cobble up the money to get it. And because I did enjoy those books very, very much, you know. But not so much last year, not so much 2025.
Ken, how about you on the printed matter side of things?
Well, like the Destroyer magazine, I did get the book about the video, Kissing the Video, the one you mentioned earlier. Not much else. I'm trying to think what else I got. I didn't get a lot. There's another book, but it was a different subject matter, or it was a different music that I was getting into. But I didn't find a lot of, you know, cool stuff this year, except for those couple things.
Yeah, Danny wanted an update. There's an update.
Yeah. Oh,
that was shredding day of all the previous proof copies of what may be coming one day.
Wow!
Whoa!
Shredding. Wow.
Yeah.
Ready. You should auction them. You get huge coins.
You should auction them off to us, the Chris fans.
unlicensed photos can't be auctioned or sold.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
They went in the shredder. Daniel, what do you want to read, or what did you enjoy most reading last year?
I think the concept of an international Kiss fanzine is very
titillating.
I can't get that word right. Well, that's I think, because when I was a real big Kiss fan in the 90s,
Strike
magazine was my go-to thing, and yeah. I know I was waiting for this when it came when it came to me. I read it over and over again. It was news. It was interesting. And he always got a lot of great photos in this one. I'm really looking forward to this guy. I think he's Italian. If he could make some sort of photo book from the Revenge era, it would be great. Because just look at the cover of this one. I mean, look at those photos. I mean, it's awesome. It's better than Alive 3, even though he got a lot of pictures into that record as well. So I think the notion of getting Kiss fans to get together, what I'm looking forward to is this magazine becoming sort of the voice of the Kiss Army internationally. Imagine getting articles from a guy attending concerts in South America, North America, Scandinavia, different perspectives. I mean, that is sort of the thing we're doing here, because I think we're the only podcast that have, you know, people from different countries almost. Most of the time, most podcasts that I watch, it's all American, and that's great. But I think the variety that we have on this podcast is a strength, and I'm thinking that magazine, that Destroyer magazine, can be something that, you know, you get different views on things. I think that's always interesting. Mark,
you know what's funny though, Daniel, I find fascinating about this is that back in the day when it was only magazines, we were always complaining about, like, you know, oh, in the magazines we get it, but the information is always like 3 months behind of stuff. Now we have internet and we can get stuff immediately. A guy can go to a concert, post his review immediately on his site and let you know how it was that same evening. But now it seems like people are getting fascinated with the printed medium again now. So it's almost like we're going backwards again. Like, we want to go back to the, I don't know if it's because we want to hold physical things in our hands again, that's the allure. Because back in the day, it's like people wanted to get away from magazines because they wanted to have stuff immediately. So I'm finding this changing of the position fascinating.
Changing of the guard. Yeah.
Yeah. Things. Let's talk about this year. You know, what are you looking forward to? You know, what is kind of the things that are first and foremost in your mind that you really want to see accomplished this year? And we're only 3 days into it. Yeah. And they haven't announced it off the soundboard yet, damn it. So the year is clearly a fail. No. Let's start with you, Daniel. What would you most like?
Well, I'm hoping that Pop House can continue to release stuff like box sets. I know we're getting like a Rock and Roll Over box set and stuff like that. So
we are. I missed that announcement.
I'm just hoping because we need that one. But I think we'll get a few box sets. I think there'll probably be an off the soundboard.
Wow, you are optimistic.
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
and I'm hoping for some off the soundboards. But when it comes to me personally, I was thinking about this before we started the podcast, and what would I really, really get into? Well, I guess some sort of gathering of KISS fans in some ways. And fortunately, there are a lot of KISS fans in the south of Sweden that arrange stuff. So I'm hoping for some sort of KISS expo with some, you know, special guests, maybe Bruce Kulick.
Eric, like KISS Storms Vegas again?
Exactly. But
except call it Stockholm?
Yeah. KISS Storms Stockholm. That would be something that I would really, really enjoy, you know. And at this point of time, really meeting other KISS fans, you know, we've talked a bit about this a lot of times, but the community, the brotherhood, that sort of thing. I mean, I've never been a religious guy, but that's the closest thing I've been to religion is when you meet other KISS fans. I get it. You know, you're on the same page. You think the same. You like the same thing. So that is actually what I would want the most, since you can't watch. And maybe another Gene Simmons tour in Sweden. I've seen enough.
How about a Gene Simmons solo album with that fantastic band that he's got? Again, we've talked about it. Give them 12 songs. Go knock them out in the studio and then have Gene come in and just sing new vocals for them. He's still got the chops, you know.
Great idea.
He's got enough songs in the can, on the vault, that could be turned into a pretty vibrant live album to stop torturing people with Ace of Spades and House of Pain. Throw in two new old songs, Gene. You don't even have to write something new. Just recycle something, you know, from the past.
Yeah. So, Mark.
No, yeah, well, finish your thought, Daniel, if you got one.
No, I didn't have a thought. Go over to Mark.
Okay, well, I mean, for the new year, you know, I'm trying to be optimistic about it, you know, because the last year or so, I felt a little let down until near the end of the year when we started getting the box sets coming out and stuff like that. Then it started picking up steam, and I was like, okay, great. So I'm hoping that we'll get at least one soundboard off the soundboard this year. I hope that they'll do one. You know, I mean, how hard could that be, guys, really? I mean, I know there's all kinds of logistics, blah, blah. Doing records myself, I know how hard it can be sometimes, but you can do one record. Come on, give me a break. Anyways, but the box sets, yeah, I mean, I'm a little confused about that for one reason. And again, I know Julian's going to jump in and say that it's nothing's official until you hear it from Kiss Online or and stuff, and that's true. And that is, you read things online, like you heard from Mike Branville wrote something about an upcoming episode where they invade the Kiss vaults, talking about a possible 96 live album and then a box set about the Kiss Alive 2 coming. So right away you're like, okay, well, wait a minute. If they're going to be doing a 96 live album box set and a live 2 one, so what happened to Rock and Roll Over and Destroyer now? Are those going to be put on the back burner now? Because it says it was right online. It was right on Facebook. He put a post up, Michael Branville. So whether that's just clickbait, who knows? But, you know, it this is where it gets kind of confusing. You know, I'd rather that people say nothing and then come out with actual information that's viable than to just, you know, give us a bunch of stuff that we don't, you know, don't know what to think of. So I'm hoping that we get, to, you know, for me, I'd rather just have the Rock and Roll Over box set, you know. I would be looking forward to that one. It's a record that's very near and dear to me. And other than that, you know, I already mentioned a possible author that's sitting in the room here with us to bring out a book, whether it happens or not. You know, I really hope it will, because as much as he likes to downplay himself, I have to say Julian is probably one of my favorite authors when it comes to Kiss-related material, full stop. Okay, so hopefully something comes out with our friend Mr. Gill. And other than that, I think everything else is kind of gravy for me, because I mean, I don't really go to these cruises and stuff like that for a few reasons that I don't need to get into on here. But there was rumor Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons were talking, you know, how much they enjoyed the Vegas thing, that maybe they missed the sort of thing from the cruise ship, that maybe they would consider doing one of those ones again. So who knows if there'll be another Kiss Cruise resurrection. So there could be many things that could happen. Whether they'll happen or not, I don't know. But from what I want a book, I want a box set, and then I'm happy.
Well, as Marco, I was trying to distract you of Marco's comments. I can neither confirm nor deny anything that he said, even if it is from Pop House. You know, This year, I would like another box, at least one. It's the 50th anniversary of Rock and Roll Over.
Yeah,
you know, when I brainstormed what was potentially possible and that I'm aware of around that, there's more than enough for a very, very, very exciting box set. Now, what does Universal think about Rock and Roll Over as a box set? My opinion is completely different than their opinion. You know, and they have access to the vault, so they know a lot more than I do. That would be the key thing for 2026 in my mind, is that off the soundboards, I'd like to see those done with some sort of schedule, taking into account that a box set would most likely come around November in alignment with the 50th anniversary of that album. Now space out the other quarters to have product musical for each one of those. So an off the soundboard or two or three. Mm-hmm. Again, there is no shortage of soundboard recordings. Now, are there soundboard recordings that can be commercially used? It's a very big difference. You know, there are additional 1980, 79, 76, 75 soundboards. There's no shortage, but are they commercially viable into what fans would accept? Printed matter.
Hey, wait.
What?
Oh, I thought it was my turn.
No, I'm talking about, I'm just going through the
oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought you were
easy there. Yeah, Ken. Easy.
Yeah. settle down.
The monologuer.
The printed stuff. I want to see someone new come to the table. not me, not Elaine, not anyone who's done something previous around KISS. I want to see a new paradigm expressed visually in print, a new investigation into areas that have hitherto been ignored or not done justice to. And I think there's a whole bunch of possibilities around there which could really be entertaining to me as a consumer. I mean, my number one hope for 2026 for published material is that Aceland is in your hands, and that we are done with it. And essentially, we are done with it. You know, we got the last interviews done at the end of 2025, as we hoped. You know, so now we've just gotten 50,000 words back from copy edit, bringing the manuscript up to 250,000 words done, proofed, copy edited, and proofed and copy edited in some cases. And, you know, what was it? Another 35 or 40,000 word section went out to copy edit yesterday. So I want that done and in people's hands, because I want that project out of my life, because it's been over two years, Daniel.
Yeah, I understand you.
It's been way too long. It's been way too big. The scope of it is 350 plus thousand words, and then it's nuts.
How many pages is that?
We don't know.
Too many.
500?
More. But, you know, our incredible designer is going to have a lot of say in how many pages it is, into what visually works with those words versus what I originally threw on paper, just to roughly line things out. And then we have to license everything as well.
Do you think the KISS Army has the chops to read that amount of pages?
Wow.
Oh boy.
This is going to be the sort of book that anyone can pick up and just open up.
Okay.
That's good.
Because, again, it's oral history. It's not
visual, like visual things.
Tabletop, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
It's a bit of both. It is tabletop, but in terms of the information is you can start at any section. Comet, Malemo. I'm not going to go into too many sections. It's the kitchen sink. But I just want to have a year where we don't have a repeat of the loss of a member of the family.
Yeah.
And that means the band. I don't want to ever, inevitably, but I don't want to repeat those feelings that I've had since the passing of Ace Frehley. I want to relive the positive feelings that I've had of seeing Peter Criss at the Cutting Room performing, to see Ace at the Whiskey a Go-Go, which, you know, I would like to see Gene. And he's going to be back on the road. He canceled out on us last year.
Yeah.
I think I probably wouldn't skip another KISS Storms Vegas because of the communion with fans and friends and celebrating the band. That's such an important part of my life. So those are my hopes for 2026, is that we get out of 2026 alive. with a few new books, maybe some new music and some new laughs and things to complain about. Ken.
Okay. So I don't think we're going to get Destroyer. We will get some kind of anniversary thing for that, I think, being the 50th anniversary. We already got the box set, so that's kind of, you know, no reason to do a second box set when you already did it. Some things I know is going to happen, I believe, is that documentary, something going on about the End of the Road documentary. And I know Paul talked about writing songs again. I don't know if they're going to write a song or do something for that or in conjunction with that. I don't know. I wouldn't mind a new KISS album. If it's possible, when they start talking writing songs, I wouldn't mind it. You know, why not? If you can do it. Otherwise, I think Unplugged needs to get something, either a box set, because it was released in '96 album and video and vinyl. I think they could do a nice box set with extra stuff for that one. I think they ought to do it, but I don't know if they will. Also, they have the Tiger Stadium. Maybe Tiger Stadium is off the soundboard.
Oh, if they had multi-tracks or proper audio for that show versus
They must have recorded that. They had to have recorded it in a multi-track.
Plus rehearsals for bonus track?
Yeah, a big project for that. I think that's, to me, it's something that just should be done. Otherwise, as far as Rock and Roll Over is 100% going to happen. And I don't know anything about it, but I just...
Of course.
It's you can't not pass that up. You just cannot pass Rock and Roll Over up. That's a definite going to happen, and probably at the end of the year, of course. What else? I don't know. There's other things they can do. I think they should do at least 2 to 3 soundboards, in my opinion, but you know, who knows how difficult that is.
Very.
Books. Yeah, I want to see Ace Book. Definitely want to see Ace Book this year. And any other, like you said, Jillian, any other content that we haven't, kind of an out-of-the-box thinking for Kiss Book, you know, something different than your standard kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of it.
Mark.
Mark, wake Mark up.
I'm not sleeping. I was writing a text to my friend. Apparently, his aunt just passed.
Sorry, I bored you with that, Mark.
No, it wasn't that. His aunt passed away, so I just wanted to.
Sorry to hear that. Yeah. Well, who knows? I just want there to be, you know, things that are worthy of debate and conversation for, because again, that's what feeds the podcasts. That's what, you know, feeds the fans, is the conversations, that activities around this band that we, you know, love. And again, a healthy and happy year for everyone around the Kiss community would be the greatest thing of all. Everything else is a bonus. Everything we get to bitch about is a bonus. Everything that we get to rave about is a bonus. Just surviving the game is what it's about. So, you know, what do you want out there? Chime in the comments. What did you enjoy the most in 2025? What was your biggest disappointment in 2025 before we go? For me, it's that we didn't, other than Ace passing, you know, it was that we didn't get Aceland done last year. Would have been ideal. Ken, what was your biggest disappointment in 2025?
Like you said, besides Ace passing, I think that, you know, the Gene Simmons band canceling in Northern California was a disappointment. I was looking forward to that one. And then, nothing else too much otherwise.
Mark, what was your biggest disappointment of the year?
Honestly, it was the passing of Ace. I mean, I know that when I talk about Ace Frehley, I sometimes talk, you know, about, you know, the soloing and how it's just pentatonic and blah, blah, blah. But honestly, Ace had a huge impact on me as a guitar player from very young to up current day. I mean, even if it wasn't just his playing, it was his, you know, his laugh that always made me laugh as well. Watching his interviews sometimes made me, you know, put me in a good mood. You know, watching Phantom of the Park, I mean, stuff like that. Ace always was the thing that made me go back to it and with a smile and watching it. And I just, it's, let's put it this way. In the Yes world, for example, when Chris Squire passed, it hit us hard. It was we couldn't imagine a world without Chris Squire in it. It's the same way with me now with Kiss. I can't imagine that we live in a world now where there's no Ace Frehley in it anymore. It's extremely disconcerting for me, because I did find him very influential on many levels for me.
Yeah. Daniel.
I have to go down the Ace route as well. But I do have to stress that he was very, you know, here in Sweden, the biggest radio channel in Sweden had like a 2-hour episode on Ace Frehley where people could call in and mention what he mattered to them. I never saw that coming. You know, the biggest radio channel, a national radio channel in Sweden, doing a 2-hour episode on Ace Frehley. So I think, even though, of course, it was a big downer and it was terrible, I think the response from the media and from the press, at least over here in Sweden, was overwhelming. It surely showed you how much Ace Frehley had meant to a lot of people. And it kind of went under the radar. You know, Kiss wasn't the most popular band during these last few years, but it surely stressed that Ace Frehley was a big influence on guitar players and rock and roll bands in Scandinavia. And he got a lot of, you know, the news were big in the biggest Swedish newspapers and so on. I didn't expect that. So even though it was terrible and awful and all that, I was kind of satisfied with the response from the media over here in Scandinavia, because they really treated it perfectly. And he got a lot of attention, and it showed you that Kiss means more than people think. You know, Kiss, oh, they just have bombs and effects. No, there's some playing going around there as well. And, you know, the guitar playing of Ace Frehley has influenced so many Scandinavian bands, and it was pretty clear that he was an important guitar player in history.
And that's a wonderful way with which to end. Chime in with your comments about the best of 2025, your biggest letdown of 2025, and also your hopes and expectations for 2026 in the comments. But for now, from Ken, from Daniel, Mark, and myself, I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the message board and discuss the topics we've broadcast today. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you've listened to this show, and a like would very much be appreciated. We hope you'll join us again, but until then, remember, life's a radio. Turn it up to 10.